Greetings, geeks, and welcome to another episode of This Geek in Comics TGIC, brought to you by OutrageGeekery.com and Comic City 2. If you want comic books, games, all your geek swag, ComicCity2.com. Our intro music this week as part of This Geek in Music is courtesy of Body of Light, and that song is Somebody Else. The whole track will be at the end of this. HotSauceAndCoffee.com for all of our music. We love them guys. This is a podcast about this week's comic books. If you have not read this week's comic books,
you are way behind.
You are way behind, yeah. And you should not listen to this right now because you will be spoiled.
Spoiler alert.
I think that's all the notices I have. Took care of all the business now. I am Gomer, and with us is...
Taylor.
David.
And, yeah, we're talking about our the comic books this week.
No Adam again this week?
Yeah, no Adam again this week. His work schedule changed. We're going to talk to him and see if we can get him over here. He reads a lot of DC, a lot more DC than any of us.
He reads a lot of DC. Yeah.
Probably more than all of us combined, honestly.
Well, they do weeklies, so it's pretty easy for him to read a lot of DC comics.
Yeah, he had like 3 weekly books.
Yeah, right. But anyway,
which
who wants to talk?
He reads these differently than I read mine, because I wait till like there's 4 issues.
Oh yeah, he reads them one
and
at a time.
He like reads them one at a time.
That's a good way of doing it.
I have to wait up and get them all, you know, in a row. Who wants to talk about a book?
I'll go first.
Go for it, dude.
Well,
there's a lot of good stuff this week.
Oh, there was a lot of good stuff.
A lot of good stuff.
Spider-Gwen, number one, come out.
Yeah, Spider-Gwen, number one. I did not get it.
Is that your pick?
No, it's not going to be my pick, but that's just what I want. I just want to highlight.
Do we want to talk about that? I read that one as well.
Okay, go ahead. Let's talk about Spider-Gwen. It's a different universe, right? It's not the 616.
She's returned from her the Spider-Verse to her universe.
Yeah, this is not Gwen Stacy being resurrected, so no need to people get
it's in a different universe where
until
Peter Parker...
Secret Wars happens and everything.
Oh yeah, in her universe, Peter Parker is the one who died.
Who was kidnapped?
No, he turned himself into the Lizard.
Oh, that's weird.
In that universe.
Okay.
Like, Ben Grimm is not the thing.
Okay.
Ben Grimm is a police officer.
And the Punisher is like the police chief.
Something like
that. He's not the police chief. He's a loose cannon cop.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's weird, man.
But, like, they're one who's kind of working. Okay, I call them a loose cannon, but they're kind of. They're using him for some sort of shady police work.
Okay.
And basically, Gwen Stacy's our Captain Stacy. Chief or Captain?
Gwen Stacy is a cop.
Her dad knows her secret identity.
That's good. Well, he knew Peters.
I'm not sure what her main profession is, but she plays in a band. She's a drummer.
Well, right now, she's out of that band. Because they basically...
MJ, the leader of the band, is throwing a hissy fit.
She must have... Yeah. Oh, really? MJ is an all-girl, like, girl band.
MJ's a bit of a bitch in this.
Yeah, and then there's Glory Grant and some person I didn't recognize, whose dialogue did not make any goddamn sense to me.
No, that's weird.
She would say things, and I'm like, what does she mean by this?
I didn't read it. I'm not a big fan of the Elseworlds books.
It is very much an Elseworlds book.
Yeah,
it's one thing that I can bring up to criticize about it. It's so different that it's almost, why are you even bothering to use Gwen Stacy?
Because that's the name, and she was
the
big star of the
Spider-Verse. If they used someone else, they wouldn't get any
promotional
name recognition.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it was in my news feed. Marvel brings back Gwen, Peter Parker's dead girlfriend, Gwen Stacy.
Those people
are
idiots.
I'm just saying, it's weird.
Not only, is it an alternate universe Gwen Stacy, but most of the characters are sufficiently different that they're almost unrecognizable.
Yeah. See, this... The most important thing I take from this book is that Secret Wars is going to change less than everybody is thinking it's going to change. This book, they're not just going to start it just to discontinue it 12 issues later if it's popular, if people are still buying it. And they're not going to move Gwen Stacy into the 616, quote-unquote, or whatever will be left over to Secret Wars. It just leads me to believe that Secret Wars is not going to change anything.
Well, they've been hinting
but
at
it. It's been getting very
Gwen Stacy
big reviews.
Is going to be showing up in Silk.
See, that's weird.
That is more weird,
you know?
That being said, the issue itself was pretty good.
That's what I heard. It was a very well-reviewed book across the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I didn't read it.
You have terrible taste in comics.
I have terrible taste in comics. I didn't pick up
that's
highly
the book
reviewed.
Itself. It is kind of intense. She taunts out the Vulture. She finds where he lives and all that. And she's like spray painting the city. The Vulture stinks. You have terrible taste in comic books.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But my complaint was a pretty nitpicky one. I do think it is kind of like...
Why
use the characters if they're going to be so different? But it is just objectively a pretty cool alternate universe version of Spider-Man.
And it's Jason Latour's vision. If he's got an idea for Gwen, go for it. Whatever. Whatever. Well, it's getting good reviews.
It's a good way to use a character that's...
That people love.
That people love. That
miss. And would cry and whine and piss and moan if they brought her back any other way.
Yeah.
Unless it was a variant.
Okay, well, I'm on that same wagon as them.
Yeah, don't bring her back.
There are a handful of character deaths who really should be unreversible.
Yes, agreed.
Gwen Stacy's death was a huge deal, both for Spider-Man and for the comics industry as a whole.
Yeah.
That they should not undo that, ever.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It's like,
I felt
like
the same way about Barry Allen, but, you know, fuck them.
It's DC, man. Well, it's different.
Like, it's like the Amazing Spider-Man number 15 they got up here.
Yeah.
I actually like what they did with the Uncle Ben version of Spider-Man. He's basically going to stay with Mayday Parker and Benji.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, incidentally, Mayday's family, except for Peter
is still alive.
Yeah, they got snuck out the back or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I always like Mayday Parker. I feel like we don't see enough of her.
Yeah. That's a good conclusion because it gives, family loses a member only to get a new member back.
Yeah.
It may be from a parallel universe, but it's Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben had a good quote about,
taking on a grandfather role.
I will get to be a grandfather here.
That's cool. I appreciate that. The Spider-Verse kind of, went over my head. I want to get back on Spider-Man.
It was kind of, it had its good moments, but
it was definitely a fan service.
There's complaints to make.
It was definitely a fan
service.
There's
nothing wrong with fan service.
Oh, no. Not at all. But the story wasn't very good.
My biggest issue with the Spider-Verse was that the pacing was just all over the place. Like, they built up these inheritors so much, and then they beat them pretty easily.
Yes, exactly.
And then 15, they kind of hint at different universes are disappearing.
Well, that's part of the Secret Wars thing.
But they were like, because the UK Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Or basically, they were like, I can't send you home. Your universe isn't there.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
So he stays behind to help out this.
And he's
going to
have a
Weaver.
Big part in the Secret War Spider-Verse comic. Yeah. He's on the cover, I believe, of that. So, well, cool. What else we got? What else? What
other books? Now for our actual picks, I suppose.
Yeah, now I'll have to go first if you guys want me to with my pick.
Sure.
Whatever. Dude, my favorite book this week was Suiciders number 1. It was a Vertigo book. Vertigo's a DC imprint.
Mm-hmm.
It was by Lee Bermejo. I think that's how you pronounce it. I think it's a Hispanic name, Bermejo. It's spelled Bermejo.
I can't tell you, man.
And Matt Hollingsworth did the coloring in it. Bermejo did everything, the art, the writing. He's really well known for Joker, the Joker graphic novel. He did the art in that.
He did a great job in that.
Oh, it was so good. This is equally awesome art. And it's a story of after the big one, the big earthquake hits California and everything goes like kind of apocalyptic. There's
escape
big,
from LA.
Deal. It's kind of like an escape from LA thing, but things are just really terrible in LA. And there's class warfare sort of things going on where the main guy, his name is, they're suiciders. Mm. And it's a gladiatorial combat that has become a super sport in this apocalyptic future. And that's basically the whole story, in a nutshell. But Bermejo does just a good job of world building in this through the art. It's not just saying, oh, this is what happened here and this is what happened here and building the history. He does that, but most of it is done through the artwork, and it's really refreshing to see in a comic book nowadays where so much attention is paid to the writing, and it's really great that a good artist can tell a good story through good art. And he's doing that. There's also a lot of social stuff in there.
Like commentary?
Social commentary. And it's not really in your face. It's sort of subtle right now. It really feels like he's planting the seeds. And if he chooses to later on and takes the risk, we might see him talk about anything from class warfare to plastic surgery to hero worship. There's just a lot of possibilities there. The standout in the book, as awesome as all that was, Matt Hollingsworth coloring on this book. It's Eisner worthy, I'm telling you. He's won an Eisner before. He's been nominated several times. I'm telling you, it's easily in the running for a colorist Eisner, nomination. And I can't rave enough about it this week. It was easily my favorite book of the week. Easily. Hands down. Loved it. Did you guys read it? You didn't read it?
I didn't read it, but I may pick it up now.
It's gonna be one of those books when it's collected, people are gonna talk about it, man. If he takes the risks that I hope he takes, there's a lot of potential there to tell a meaningful story. So, well, what did you read then? You didn't read it. I know Taylor didn't read it. He would have already said something.
I'm going to go with Black Hood. The Black Hood.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dwayne Swierczynski.
Swierczynski and Michael Gatos.
Yeah.
Wow.
A good start.
It's a good... It's kind of in that genre, you know, the anti-hero genre. It's been done to death, but from what I've been able to research on the Black Hood, he's a character from basically the 40s. So if you're going to do a revamp would probably be safer than a new property.
It's safe because of both reasons.
That's one of those characters that's so obscure, though.
It's almost kind of new.
You know.
Yeah. But
there's really no risk of pissing anyone off.
Well, back in the 90s on DC, but apparently the DC lost the license to it.
Well, there can be a risk if... Because origins can seem so similar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you say, oh, well, I didn't remake this origin that's so similar to a character that's popular.
I don't think this is the same origin.
It's 60-year-old origin. Oh, it's a different origin.
From what I've been able to research on the character, there's been at least several characters. And this is the latest iteration. Yeah.
Now, this is on Dark Circle.
Which is an imprint from Archie
from
Comics.
From Archie Comics.
Of
this
all
is,
places.
Yeah, this is Archie really trying to get into more adult books. They did a good job with Afterlife with Archie.
And the Sabrina book.
Yeah, and they got a Predator and Archie book coming out.
Well, the Predator versus Archie is a DC crossover deal. Or Dark Horse crossover, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's still going to be kind of tongue-in-cheek humor.
Yeah.
But...
It's like the whole Punisher and Archie crossover.
Speaking of Archie, when's that Archie relaunch going to be?
That's in a month or two. Archie 666 will be the last issue of Archie, and then after that we'll launch the new one.
But basically, it's the story of Officer Greg, and I'm going to slaughter his last name, Heading.
Okay.
Headingers.
That's fine.
But basically, he's...
Greg.
Yeah. Greg.
Officer Greg.
Officer Greg is responding to a disturbance call that's around the elementary school.
Okay.
And when he approaches the individuals, one of them basically shoots him in the... You know, takes a shot at him with a shotgun.
That's a dick move.
That is. Yeah, to the face?
He gets the blast to the... Not like the actual buckshot, but he gets... His face gets disfigured.
Which is hence the hood.
Well, no.
Oh, okay. One
of the four individuals in this disturbance is a vigilante called the Black Hood.
Okay.
And what happens is as he's being shot, he decides he's going to return fire. He's blinded, you know, from the flash and everything. So he shoots, and the person he shoots and kills is this Black Hood guy.
Officer Greg shoots
shoots the Black Hood.
Damn it, Greg.
Yeah, that sounds like a weird first issue. Okay.
So in his recovery, you know, he's going through the recovery, and basically he's being called a hero, but he killed basically the one guy that was trying to do something good.
Oh, so he sort of goes through...
He goes into kind of a depression about that.
Oh, okay.
So he's, you know, he's recovering, he's got a speech therapist, and basically he's on painkillers. And he basically is like somebody snatches the hood as a trophy for him, you know, as a sick joke. But he keeps it, and basically he kind of goes into like this drug fueled spiral, in which, you know, his only means of escape from his situation is to wear the Black Hood. So when it's
what?
You know he's skipping his therapy, and one of his therapists shows up at his house, and basically in a panic he's got the hood on. In a panic he avoids her, only to end up confronting a group of muggers wearing the Black Hood.
And that's where it ends.
And that's where it ends.
So he doesn't even get into the vigilanteism.
Not yet.
Oh, wow. So it's going to be a pretty long origin.
Straczynski, he did like a Punisher book a while back.
Sounds like
he's a good writer.
Sounds like they're kind of doing a metagame with just like superheroes in general, like motivations for these sorts of things.
But he's accidental motivations almost.
Psychosis. I kind of want like that return to like the Punisher being like, you know, a character like the Punisher, where he's basically, you know, devil may care, guns blazing, spouting.
The Punisher seems almost too, and I mean, like he's political.
Yeah,
he's sane about it. You know, he knows what he's doing is wrong, but he does it because he feels that it's the only way he can get justice.
And I feel like
the Black Hood is going to be really more.
I feel
psychotic.
Like this. What's his last name?
Swierczynski.
Is that how you say it?
I think.
I don't know.
Dwayne. And Officer Greg. Comic book writer Dwayne.
But basically, I might get my wish.
It's cool.
Because the preview for the second issue has got, like, you know, this great old Howard Chalkland, you know, guns blazing, jumping off cars. And I'm like,
cool.
Awesome. And but
Gabe
the
Gabe's art is really
the art is good.
Good.
The, you know, it's gritty. It's got a tone to it.
Nice.
I'm looking for the book that it reminds me of so hard right now.
Yeah.
I'm going through my old collection and I still haven't found it, but it's great. And the coloring, I have to give it off to the colorist
good.
In this book. Fitzpatrick or Kurtzpatrick, I can't remember the last name.
Yeah.
But it's got this washed out tone to it. And it's beautiful. And
it's definitely something that jumps off the shelf at me, yeah. But yeah, I did not pick it up.
If this is any indication of like how this Dark Circle Comics is going to go, I might actually pick up the Shield.
Oh yes, another Archie Dark Circle.
Because I might want to check that out. But I'm definitely, I think, you know, the genre for anti-hero has been done to death, but I'm willing to give this, like, another read for next month.
Cool.
So I'm willing to wait for issue 2.
Awesome. I should pick it up. Awesome. Oh, Taylor. Yeah, Taylor, what did you pick? What was your favorite of the week?
My favorite of the week was The Wicked and the Divine.
The Rave.
Yes. Consistently.
Number 8. Was it issue 8?
We're well past 8.
I think it's like 11.
Yeah.
Oh, is it 11? I'm sorry. I was on MDMA while I was reading this book.
Actually, I think it might have sold out because I don't see it over there. So
yeah.
I forget which number it was.
It would be...
This is the latest issue. This week's issue.
The latest issue of Wicked and the Divine, the one with Dionysus on the cover.
Yes.
Speaking of Dionysus, this issue has Laura going into a godly rave. It is one of the most breathtakingly beautiful sequences I've seen in a comic book in a really long time.
Yes.
Not just the colors, the way that they play with the panels.
The design.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, this is an example of Jamie McKelvey, who's the artist on the story. He shows a really good kind of mastery for not even just line work, but also for storytelling.
Yes.
Like telling a story in panels.
Yeah.
Because she kind of gets her godly E, and then you kind of see it slowly taking effect on her. And like they do this by kind of breaking up the panels, like moving from shot to frame to frame to frame.
Yeah.
Like, and like her face is kind of spread out across the line work of her face is kind of spread across the frame.
Yeah.
And,
there's I love the
there's
ahead.
A quality
Sorry.
To it where you can almost hear the music
yes,
building up
that's
before
what I was,
like before the hook drops
yes.
on the big splash page right after.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. The way he designs panels with numbers, sort of every other panel, and sometimes it's not every other panel. It's almost as if these numbers are keeping with a beat
yeah.
of the music, and it was just such a synergy of design and art that came together.
The right
is marvelous.
Gillen and McKelvey are some of the best collaborators in the
yeah.
industry, and this is a good example of the writing and the visuals working in coordination where there's like almost an audible quality that is playing in my head.
Amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easily in the running for 2015 best single issue.
Not much happens story-wise.
Oh yeah, nothing
in this issue.
Really happens. She just parties her ass off. There's some dialogue.
There's some important dialogue,
yeah.
some important character development, some important. It's kind of a downbeat issue,
yes.
so to speak.
But it's
like
yes.
the plot. Nothing drastically changes about the plot, but it's still such an amazing
it's
read.
It's entertaining.
I haven't read it yet.
It's you're missing out.
Yeah, it's
I picked
really
it up.
Entertaining.
I picked it up today. I haven't read it yet.
Give it a read through. It's
yeah.
Great stuff.
Like I said, as far as best single issues go, I mean, I know it's only, you know, the end of February, beginning of March, but it's easily in the running now for best single issue of the year. It was so good. There was another good issue, number one issue, last week or 2 weeks ago, Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, let's talk about
Darth Vader number two was really a letdown compared to that first issue, I thought. Compared to that first issue, there was a lot of droid action. LaRocca's motion is still lacking for me. Like, the motion in the panels, I'm not seeing it.
I'm not as down on it as you are. This one did not have as much...
The intrigue that the first one had.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of intrigue.
Cause
there was a lot of between the Emperor and that tension between the Emperor and Vader. You could really feel it.
Yeah.
This one was more... Vader is a badass.
No, Vader...
We knew Vader was a badass.
The general guy is basically saying that Vader is a tool. You are a tool of the Empire, and I will use you as I see fit.
Well, I think that was kind of because in the first one, maybe the Emperor's right. Vader did lose, you know, the battle of whatever Yavin, and he lost the Death Star, and the rebels are running wild across the galaxy. Maybe the Emperor's right. And then you get into issue two, and it's like, no, Darth Vader is still a badass.
Yeah.
But I personally did have no doubt at all that he was a badass. So this issue was kind of like,
we're also getting a look at some of his cunning, though, because he's like manipulating situations to his advantage. Spoiler alert.
This whole show is a spoiler.
He's already working to undermine Taj. Is that how you say his name?
I think
Taji.
It's either Taj, Tog.
It's basically the guy.
I'm going to say Taj.
The guy that he force choked on in episode 4.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find your lack of faith disturbing. Yeah. It was that guy.
Was it?
It is. I believe it is.
It looks just like him.
It looks like him.
Anyway,
he's the new commander
of the fleet.
He's basically now Tarkin.
Yeah, he's the fleet commander.
Yeah, Supreme General or whatever.
Well, that was
a
good quote in there, actually, about how Tarkin had vision. You have graphs.
Yeah.
There
was a
graphs
lot.
And the command.
And he called the guy was like bold enough to call the Death Star Tarkin's folly. He's like, how many Star Destroyers could we have built with that?
Yeah, there was a lot of.
He's got a point.
Yeah, he does. And there was a lot of good talk. You know, a lot of good dialogue, a lot of good writing. I just didn't like what Vader was doing throughout any of the book, but.
Not every issue can be him fighting Jabba the Hutt's Sarlacc or whatever. I thought he didn't actually fight the
Hutt. I wish he would have. That's what I wanted issue 2 to be.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, Sarlacc. Here it comes.
Like, through the vacuum of space. Yes. Just like,
screw
he's
it.
He's not even on Tatooine anymore.
Sarlacc! But this definitely is setting up for the rest of this arc, which introduces a female character who hangs out with some droids, and I'm anxious to see that.
The promo at the end of the book.
Yeah, the promo at the end of the book was a lot more exciting to me than the things that were going on in the book. But it was very well written. LaRocca's art is outstanding. I wish there was more motion to his pencils than there were, but it was a good book, but not my pick.
What is your pick?
Oh, my pick? I already said it.
We already did that a while ago.
Yeah, we did that.
Memory of a Goldfish.
Imbecile. But either way.
They're Not Like Us, number 3, came out.
Yeah. I picked it up, but I haven't read it yet.
Eric Stevenson. It took him a few issues to really get going, but this has now become a must-read book.
Suiciders, that's what it was.
They're Not Like Us is about a bunch of outcasts from society who have powers.
I didn't pick it up, even though I'm sure it's outstanding, but
which book?
Sandman Overture.
Oh, yeah. I'm
waiting for trade for that one.
I jumped off of that book, even though I'm sure it's very beautiful and very well-written because of the timing on the book.
Well, that's why I'm waiting for the trade.
Yeah,
2 years from now, when the story is complete,
it will be an amazing trade. Hopefully, they're able to move over some of those big because they had full panel spreads, double fold pages. Hopefully, those translate to the bigger book.
Yeah. Oh, but another thing probably worth mentioning this week: New Avengers. Did you read that yet?
I did read New Avengers. I forgot about it on purpose. Please go ahead, and I will explain to you why I thought it was the worst issue Hickman has ever written.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not saying it was outstanding or anything, but as far as the story goes, we've gotten some interesting pieces. The Beyonders, apparently.
Yes.
They've been alluding to these Ivory Kings. It's one of the kind of bad things to watch out for, and now we see, back in the original Secret Wars, apparently they discussed in this issue, that was like an infant Beyonder, and he was all-powerful
for all intents and purposes, he was.
But now we're getting things that can take on Celestials and aspects of the universe, like chaos and order.
That was my problem with it. As Hickman is destroying the Marvel Universe as we know it, the multiverse.
They killed the Living Tribunal, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Wow. But as he's gradually killing all these universes, he has to figure out ways to not only make sure the Secret War event can happen, but also to eliminate everything that might be in its path.
That can prevent it.
Celestials are in the way. They are a part of the Marvel Universe that needs to be done away with before there's nothing. Everything ends. The Celestials were something that had to end. When the Beyonders came out and started owning Celestials, it felt like a Monday Night Raw, where they have this guy come in and kick the shit out of the champion, just so everyone would say, oh, that dude's badass. He kicked the shit out of the champion.
That's actually a trope.
It is a trope.
Where you have someone beat up Worf on an episode of Star Trek to show how tough this new thing is.
And that's what it felt like to me.
We already knew that Beyonders were badass.
We knew the Beyonders were badass, but it seemed like Hickman's like, okay, I got to get the Secret Wars. I got to get rid. He's like, he's got his list. He's checking it twice. Marking off Celestials, check. Beyonders are badasses, check. This issue's done. And that's all we got.
Maybe not a lot happened. Most of it was, if he had just done one panel of these guys destroying these big badass.
We would have done it in two panels. I'm just
saying. That would have been shit.
No, I don't think
so. It would have lost all the gravity of the situation.
But I didn't think it had a lot of gravity to begin with. Sure, Celestials are there. He had to get rid of them.
Okay, so the whole issue is Hank Pym. Yeah, the Beyonders killed a bunch of guys. Well, oh, really? Are we going to see? No, you're not.
Well, he could have shown that there was at least 4 or 5 pages of Pym going on and on and on and on and on about Celestials being killed before he actually mentions it. Oh, yeah, it was the Beyonders. And then there's
the Beyonders like the beginning
but
of the issue.
But he was talking about the Celestials dying. He said, let me get back to that. He mentions the Beyonders and says, oh, let me start from the beginning because he's all, you know, raggedy and has to drink water because he's been in the... flying through the multiverse forever, which I thought was kind of cool. Hank Pym going through the multiverse, that's kind of neat. I wish they'd have talked about that for 4 or 5 issues of
that
this.
That was half the fucking issue.
No, I mean more issues.
Hank Pym is Marvel's version of Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I would have liked to seen arcs of Hank Pym just traveling
that's
through
the That's not the story.
Multiverse.
The story is what he found.
I know. I just think they could have talked about what he found.
Your complaint was stupid.
Very weak writing.
My complaint is that if these things are so badass and they're taking out Celestials, they're taking out
Celestials in the multiverse.
Yeah, taking out the Living Tribunal, who's like Spectre caliber power. What the hell are Captain America and Iron Man going to do to beat these things?
Well,
I have a lot of heart.
But I think that's Grant. The other part of it. You know, we have to build an even badder villain so that this event is even bigger than the last one.
This is that same thing I was talking about with the Inheritors in the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, dude.
It's all cool to build up your villains as being extremely badass, but...
Yeah, until Spider-Man kills him with love or whatever.
You get to the point where... another good trope, only the author can save them now. What contrived series of events are you going to have to come up with where the good guys win?
Exactly, dude. And that's a bigger part of my issue with the overall ending of how Avengers and New Avengers is leading up to. Because the rest of it's just going to be the Ultimate Universe.
Well,
because this is the end of this arc. The next arc is the last arc of both Avengers and New Avengers. And it's just going to totally deal with the Ultimate Universe in the build-up to Secret Wars. And it's not until the first issue of Secret Wars until we get the Ultimate Universe actually collapsing with the 616. So it's drawn out now. This is a case of when the promotion has almost hurt the event. They've made such a big hype about this, and it's still 2 months away. Till Secret Wars. You know, it's frustrating.
They have been building for a while. Really, they've been building ever since New Avengers number one.
If you want to get really technical, Hickman's been doing this since Fantastic Four. A lot of the elements in the whole, you know, incursions and multiple
incursions
reads.
Incursions didn't start till New Avengers.
Well,
multiple reads hasn't really played into it.
That mirror that he used in there.
That's come up, sure. But.
And I'm sure that was like a test bed, all those multiple reads for how many multiple every freaking character in the Marvel Universe he could do, which is what Secret Wars is going to be.
Okay, that being said, my complaint is about how the hell can he possibly resolve this in a satisfying way? Maybe he can.
Oh, no. I'm definitely giving him the benefit of the doubt for the overall, you know, arc of his mega 3-part event, Infinity, Secret Wars, and who knows, whatever hell else will come next. But in this particular issue, it seems like he's like, all right, I got to get to Secret Wars. Let me tie up these loose ends. I need to make the universe this, so let me do as much as I can to do it. And here comes Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, that's just what it felt like to me, man. Like a bad Monday Night Raw. But overall, Hickman is still one of my favorite writers. I'm still stoked about Secret Wars. I'm going to be buying a lot of those tie-ins. But Stone Cold says so. It's Gomer 316.
A-Force is going to be like a Secret Wars tie-in, right?
Yes.
So I'll probably get that one.
G. Willow Wilson's right in there. Yeah, it's going to be great.
I don't
great.
Know of any off the top of my head that I'm definitely going to get at this point.
There's one called Ghost Racers. which I'm definitely going to be getting. It's every Ghost Rider ever in Death Race.
Oh, what was the one? Thor's?
Thor Core.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Wait, I don't know.
I thought it was just called Thor's.
But it might just be called Thor's, but it is the Thor Core, where it's a multiversal police force made up. It's the Green Lanterns with Thor's. Every Thor
that's
ever.
That's so much better than the Green Lanterns.
Dude, it is so much better than the Green Lanterns. You don't get a ring. You get your own magical hammer.
As someone
of
who
doom.
Likes the Green Lanterns, that's way cooler
yeah,
than the Green Lanterns.
Dude, yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm excited for a lot of those tie-ins that are coming and the event itself, but getting there is it's getting there is becoming a battle.
We have been this time runs out has been ticking away half a year.
It's a slow clock.
Yeah.
It's a slow clock.
It's been at least since I think it was October.
Oh man,
when they started this.
Oh yeah, I don't know. Anyway, what other books? Anybody else have a favorite they want to mention?
Effigy number 2.
Or a bad one they want to mention. Effigy.
I like that.
Yeah, you really like the first Effigy.
I like the first issue of Effigy, and the second one kind of took a little turn for the weird, but it's not a bad thing. A character they introduced in the first issue, basically they kind of flesh out, and it turns out to be the fan club president, who's also going through a sexual...
sexual what? Tension?
Not sexual tension, but sexual reassignment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it's interesting, but basically, you know, they're trying to figure out how did this dried up corpse, this mummified corpse with a tattoo from a logo on a TV show that the main character used to be a cast member of.
What's the overall premise of Effigy? It's a police crime drama.
It's a crime.
It's like Arkham Manor or Arkham.
Yeah.
Whatever
it's,
that book
it's
is,
weird.
Gotham by
if there was
midnight.
Anything, anything I would probably compare it to, it might be Twin Peaks. But
oh wow, okay, that's cool.
Because you know, well, now was issue 2, yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, what it is the Chandra Jackson, I believe is her name. She basically was a child star. She's come back to her hometown and she's training to be a police officer.
Oh, okay.
She's already gone through the academy. She's already like on the beat. And basically, she lives in a town called Effigy Mound, and it's like an Indian burial ground. And some archaeologists out there dug up a body, dug up a body in a mound.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit there. It's a mummified corpse, but it has the tattoo of the logo from the show that she was part of.
Oh, weird.
And so basically, she's been called in to kind of help them figure out what's going on.
Okay.
And what's the connection between this corpse and her.
Huh.
And there's just like this really weird stuff going on. Like they introduce basically a she-male character.
Oh.
That the main character, Chandra, knew as a child.
Okay.
And is the fan club member. And...
Huh. So it's sort of like a crime drama with a Hollywood sort of twist to it.
Yeah, it's got a weird...
That's cool.
Weird vibe to it.
Yeah.
But it's not like... weird enough that I'm weirded out.
Yeah, so many unique books, and that's definitely one of them.
Yeah. Oh, what else?
I wanted to mention Rasputin. Rasputin hit, what, issue 4, I think it was? 4 or 5. That's Alex Grecian and Riley Rosmo. It was actually issue number 5. But this has been a weird book. Are you reading Rasputin?
No.
It's a weird book. It talks about, you know, the historical Rasputin in a different light is sort of a weird history where he doesn't die, and it's just been all over the place, but it's been wildly entertaining. I have no idea what's going on, but the end of this issue is halfway through the whole arc, and it's coming to the modern day, and for some reason he's going to be going to the White House. So I think he's going to be taking a political sort of you know, move, you know, and it's just a really intriguing book. Not really much else to say about it, except I'm really enjoying it. It's difficult to talk about, but Rasputin, check that out.
Gotham Academy number 5.
Yeah, love that creative team, man. Becky Cloonan.
Beautiful book.
Yeah.
Issue 6, we're finally going to get Batman in the book.
Oh, okay.
Not it's Bruce Wayne, but Batman.
Okay. It's been a while.
Yeah, but they...
It's about time.
They're kind of... Olive Silverlock has basically crossed paths with Killer Croc.
Okay.
Killer Croc knows her mom. Actually, was very
knows her mom.
Knows her mom.
Knows her mom from Arkham.
Everybody on Xbox Live knows my mom.
Yeah, knows her mom from Arkham. But basically, that Croc basically told Olive that I promised your mom I would watch out for you.
Okay,
and I don't want to go back to Arkham.
Huh.
Which basically they're covering a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a really interesting interaction, and then Batman shows up at the end of it. We got a Man Bat in this book.
Man Bat appearance. Yeah. Cool.
Not Langstrom, but somebody suffering from the same virus.
Oh, neat. Okay. So they're really going in a lot of directions, of the Bat directions.
I picked it up today. I haven't got a chance to read it yet, but I'm kind of excited to read Curb Stomp.
Oh, yeah, I haven't read that either.
But I'm hearing good things about Curb
Stomp. Okay, yeah, I haven't really looked into anything about that.
But basically, it's girl gangs fighting each other. The premise is one member of a gang killed another member of a gang in self-defense, and basically a gang war has started.
Oh, neat. An all-girl gang war.
All-girl gang war.
Awesome.
So I'm kind of wanting to get into that one when I get home.
You want to talk about any other books? What else did you read this week, man? Anything terrible? Anything you read and you were just, man, that's the worst comic ever. I should just rip this book
really.
In half.
Yeah, I did also read Uncanny Avengers. I don't shit all over it like you guys do. Yeah. I think it's fine.
My
only problem with it so far is the usual complaints I have about Remender books, where he
doesn't
always...
It doesn't really matter.
Well, more so than that,
yeah.
He always overplays like the drama. Like,
I know what you mean.
He always lays it on a little thick with the doom and gloom.
Yes.
And that's bad for a couple of reasons. First, I am completely desensitized to the High Evolutionary nuking a city at this point.
I don't care about the High Evolutionary.
It's not that I don't care. It's just that I've seen so many people nuke so many cities in Remender's books. It's no longer shocking.
It's not shocking to me because none of this is actually happening on a planet that has any... made-up planet.
So did Jean Grey blowing up the planet. So I'm not going to discredit it for that reason.
You're right.
You know, it's never... You know, a good thing when people die. Man.
The reason,
but okay,
yeah, go ahead.
He's done. The reason that was such a big deal in the Dark Phoenix saga is that was like such a huge thing. Like it was a shocking moment.
Yeah.
It was built.
It was new.
It's not something they do every story arc.
That's right.
Remender does these big doom gloom massacre moments every story arc. It's lost its shock value.
The problem.
Second reason.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
He always lays on how dire the situation is. Like, they don't stand a chance. It's hopeless. It's hopeless. Oh, we solved the problem.
Exactly.
Like, it's always... The build-up of the problem is never resolved in a satisfying way.
Yeah.
It's always... It's doom. We can't solve it. There's nothing we can do unless we do this. Oh, okay.
Okay, we got it.
Yeah.
My problem
solved. Yeah.
My problem with Remender is if you look at everything but his X-Force run. Okay, his X-Force run was good, even though his X-Force run also did this. But his X-Force run was the first run he had at Marvel. His X-Force run took the entire team of X-Force away from planet Earth. His Captain America took Captain America off of planet Earth into Dimension Z. His last Uncanny Avengers, they weren't really on Earth. They were on Mutopia Earth or whatever the hell it was. And this one, the very same thing. It's like he can't write in the Marvel Universe. He's got to have his own little subset of the Marvel Universe that he can write in. And I'm not talking smack because I love him. He's great on all of his indie books. They're amazing. But I'm having trouble enjoying his Marvel properties. Daniel Acuna, thank you. He is saving that book.
He is.
Oh, he's amazing.
That being said, I can still appreciate the fun where the fun's there.
Oh, like, no, there's... I can understand the
appeal.
Especially
because it's being drawn so well.
Yes. I can understand the appeal of Remender's work. I just don't like it myself.
He's good at writing, I think, dialogue and characters. It's just that... His situations... That
situationally, that's what it is.
He puts the characters into these dire situations that always get resolved in some... pretty easy, unsatisfying manner, and he overdoes it with the death and destruction.
Alright, anything else we want to talk about? Oh, go ahead, you want to say something else about
if I'm reading
Uncanny?
A book where I am no longer fazed by someone nuking a city, you've done it too much.
I think the main appeal of that book is to find out who the twin
it's going to be Magneto.
And of course
The fuck he says, even if he honestly is going to make it someone other than Magneto, someone else is eventually just going to turn it back to Magneto.
Exactly, that's what I mean, it doesn't seem meaningful.
That's one of those things that's not going to stick, even if he intends it to.
I don't care how many movies you make with how many Scarlet Witches and different versions of Quicksilver and this. Magneto is the daddy. Call Maury Povich. Seriously. Magneto, you are the father. I'm serious.
Well, okay. Our lie detector test.
Whoever, and they're gonna have to be someone else. What character is there out there that's a satisfying answer?
There
it can't
isn't
be just
one.
Like their father is Joe from
Charles
Cleveland,
Xavier.
You know. Oh, okay.
That's
that would
the
be
only one, dude. That's the only way it works.
It has to be someone like that. It can't
yes.
just be their father is you know Chuck.
Yeah, yeah, just some dude who lives in New York. Yeah, it just can't be some guy, some hot dog vendor.
It's Glenn who works over at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, it just can't be some...
Larry Miller.
Yeah, it's just it's Larry Miller.
Our own Larry Miller yeah. is the father of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
No, one of them would be Redhead. One of them would be Redhead.
Well, Scarlet Witch is sometimes depicted as
Oh, yeah,
Redhead.
Sometimes. It depends on, yeah.
Depends on the colors.
Yeah. All right, well, we ended it. Is there any news, any particular news we want to talk about? I don't think we've had a cast since Andrea Sorrentino was exclusive to Marvel, made exclusive to Marvel. He's an artist. And then, really good. He's on X-Men. I think he's got a cover. That all-new X-Men cover right there is his work.
Yeah, it's not garbage.
Yeah, it's not garbage at all. It's great.
Awesome. Looking forward to next week's comics.
Yeah, we're always, it's weird. I'm always looking forward to the next
Subjects,
batch of comics.
Subjects, yeah. Rat Queen starts next week.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty good.
I have to read, 12 to 13 issues of that before that issue comes out.
It is
so.
Basically picking up where the Ron Upchurch
yeah.
left off.
Sad situation, but a great remedy, you know.
What else?
I don't even remember. Leia, does Leia come out next week?
I think it does.
I think it does. I'm excited about
hopefully
that.
Hopefully it's going to keep up the Star Wars momentum.
Yeah. It's so good to get
Star Mark Wade
with
is
all the smack
in,
I talked
Terry
on
Dodson
Darth Vader number 2. It was still good. It was still fun yeah. read. Cool. Well, we'll wrap. Thanks for listening, everybody. Please check us out on iTunes. We're on iTunes now. I wanted to wait till we got 3 episodes, but now we're in it now. It's on. 3 episodes in, we might as well be at 103.
Yeah.
Cool.
No one came in here and put a gun to our head and told us to stop. So
yes.
we made it to 3.
We made it to 3. Yeah. So do that. Subscribe. Send us a comment. Thanks as always to Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee. If you want any comic books or games or any of that swag, come in if you're in the Nashville area. If not, check out their website. Talk with them. There's a link on OutrightGeekery.com, which is our website for news, reviews, and all of your geek goodness. Until next week, thanks for listening. Check out the track at the end of the podcast for This Geek in Music. And thanks to Hot Sauce and Coffee for them. I love those guys. It's a great synergy we got going with them. Thanks for listening, guys. Next week.
makes you itch.